Welcome, neighbors and friends. This is Pastor Bob Weitz in Plymouth, Illinois, and I welcome you to stay tuned to Lessons from Scripture. Well, once again, welcome to the program. Glad to be with you today, this morning. Hope you're having a blessed Sunday. Today, we want to talk about overcoming temptation. We're going to start off with a look at James 1, chapter 1, that is, 12 through 18. Verse 12 says, "Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Now, what this means, and I'm going to break them down for you as we go along here so we really understand exactly what the scripture is telling us. What this means is that those who remain steadfast in the face of trials will receive the crown of life, which is a blessing from God. Amen to that? Amen. So we need to endure during those temptations. Now, 13, let's go on. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Now, this simply means God is not the source of your temptation, and that you should not blame God for your temptations. Instead, you need to recognize that temptations come from our own evil desires, sad to say. But that's exactly where they come from. They don't come from God. So don't, if you're tempted with something, don't try to blame God. It's not God. It's us. We're the ones who are humans and fail without the Lord's help. Verse 14, "But every man is tempted, for when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed..." I'm going to read that again because that didn't come out right. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed." This means that temptations come from within us, ourselves, and that we're responsible for our desires to sin. When we feel like we are and know that what we're about to do is a sin, or even if we don't know that it's a sin, if you haven't learned, it's still from within you. God didn't put that desire, that lust, and the enticement to do these sins. They're from within us, and we are responsible for them, not God. Verse 15, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Now, breaking that down, we have to see here, we have a desire. We have when a desire is encouraged to act, and you have a desire, it leads to a temptation. And that's what a desire can do for you. Whether good or bad, it's still going to lead to some kind of a temptation. And that temptation, when they're bad, leads to sin. And when that desire is acted upon, it gives birth to sin. And sin that is left unchecked will eventually lead to death, which is eternal separation from God in hell for those who are not in Christ. So remember this, people, folks, friends. "Then when lust hath conceived," when lust has been conceived, it brings sin. And that sin, after it's over with, without the redemption of Christ, will bring death and eternal damnation and a separation from God forever and ever. 16, chapter, or verse 16, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Well, that's short, sweet, but it means don't be deceived. Now, what James is telling us here, it's a warning to Christians not to be fooled into thinking that God gives bad gifts. Don't believe that something bad is happening and that it's all God's fault. Instead, what he's saying is, God is a giver of all good gifts. So don't be deceived about where something is coming from. 17 reads right along with that one. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And this simply means God is a source of all good things in life, and that He is always good. Regardless of what happens in our lives, we have to remember that God is a source of all good things in life, and that He, God, is always good. If you're going through bad times and bad things are happening, or you've been tempted and you did something wrong, that didn't come from God, folks. And James is just reiterating this over and over again so we can get it in our minds. Verse 18 says, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of His creatures. So what that's telling us, in a nutshell, is that God gave believers new life in Christ through the word of truth, and that believers are God's prized possessions. So we have to look at this whole chapter again. We got to realize that what James is telling all of us, this is what we need to understand about temptation. When you're tempted, you have to endure, because God is going to help you. When you're tried and your tribulations are here and you're tempted to do this and you're tempted to do that, and, you know, if you can endure those temptations by holding on to the Word and the armor of God and relying on God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, you will receive your crown of life, which the Lord promised to all of us that love Him. So we need to learn to be steadfast in all of the trials that we're confronted with in life, every one of them. I can't say that they're all going to be easy, but with Christ on our side, with the Holy Spirit helping you and God cheering you on, you can do it. Make no mistake about it. You can do it. Now keep in mind something that's very important. I've talked about it a minute ago here. Let no one say he is tempted by God. God cannot be tempted with evil, and God will not tempt you. God will not be the source of any of those temptations. So don't blame God. Instead, stop dead in your tracks and say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Here I am again blaming God because this happened. But it wasn't God's fault. Things happen. And we have to, when they're bad and we're tempted with all these things, we have to be able to stand on the Word of God. Hallelujah. And it's especially true for all of us that when you're tempted with lust, you have to remember it's a very, how do I want to say this? It's a very strong temptation for some people. And it's very hard for them to say no. And it might be one of the hardest temptations to overcome for many, many, many people. And it seems to be that way when we see all the headlines of everything going on in the world, and even preachers that are being found and sentenced to prison for sexual misconducts that they're doing. It's sad. So remember these three things: desire, sin, death. when that desire of lust comes upon you, you have to not let it be a temptation, because that temptation will lead to sin. And sin, if you go through with it, it will lead to death. Death. My friends, I don't know how to say it any stronger than that, no matter what I might say or do. Sin is sin. Life is life. Life is wonderful with Jesus. Life is wonderful with God the Father. And God, life is beautiful with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's here to help you to combat all of these evil temptations. That's what the Holy Spirit helps us do. He does many other things, of course. Of course he does. But that's one of the things he does, is he helps us to combat these evil desires that come upon us, and these desires to get back at somebody, to figure, maybe even to some people, I've heard it, they say, I pray for retribution from God on that person. You know, we need to love everybody. Don't let desires that are evil affect your life. You can handle it. Oh, we've all been down that road. I go down that road a lot. It takes a lot for me to have to all the time tell myself, wait, hold up, stand back, take a deep breath, pray about this. Sit down and pray about it before we jump off the handle and say or do something that we not only will regret, but something that will be a sin and something that God sees you do. And if you don't repent of it, how can God forgive you? How can God forgive you if you sin and don't ask repentance from the Lord? He doesn't force it on us, folks. Sometimes we do these things and we think, well, if we just be quiet and don't talk about it, nobody will know. And it'll all go away. I bet all of us have thought that at one time or another in our lives. If I don't mention it, if I don't tell anybody about it, it'll all go away. Well, you know what? It will go away. As long as you're here, alive on this earth. But Jesus knows, God knows, the Holy Spirit knows. They didn't allow you to ban them from remembering what you've done. So you are going to have to pay for it with somebody sometime, whether it's now or later. Used to be an old commercial about oil. You know, buy a quart now or pay later. Because if you don't keep your oil in your car, it'll tear up. If you don't keep Jesus in your life every day, your life will tear up. Here's a few other scriptures that I think will help you. Matthew 26:41. Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And what that's telling us, folks, is that the spirit's willing to fight that temptation, but the body's weak, and we all know that. That's why we got to keep watch and pray that we won't give in to temptations. Matthew 26:41. And in Titus 2:12, be ready at all times to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That means right now. In the present age, right now, every minute, be ready at all times to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly. That's how we're supposed to live every day of our life. Titus 2:12. Be ready every day, all day. Colossians 3:17. I almost misled you there. You'd have been looking all over going, what is that man talking about? Colossians 3:17, strive against sin in your life and seek to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, my friends, will get you a long way in this life against temptations. Strive against sin in your life and seek to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you're thinking about something that you're tempted with that's wrong, stop and ask yourself. You've heard that old saying, what would Jesus do? Well, it's not just a few bywords. Sometimes we take little sayings like that and we beat them to death to where we forget what they mean. But if you're getting ready and tempted to do something wrong, think about what would Jesus do? In the name of Jesus, what am I thinking about? Jesus doesn't want me to do that. Jesus doesn't want me to say that. Jesus doesn't want me to participate in that. And that's what Colossians 3:17 is telling you. Strive against sin in your life and seek to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews 4:15. Turn to Jesus' example and to remember that Christ, too, suffered temptations. But you know the difference? He never sinned. He fought those temptations off. He never sinned. And don't fool yourself by saying, well, because Jesus was the Son of God, Jesus was God, Jesus was different, and Jesus was this, and Jesus was that. Jesus, at that time, was fully human. Fully human. He ate, drank to keep his health. He was tempted, but he never gave in. He was tempted in more ways than most of us can ever even imagine. But he never gave in. Not even when the devil had him out in the wilderness. Jesus told him, man does not live on bread alone, but the word of God. Amen. And that's a fact. So Hebrews 4:15, turn to Jesus' example and to remember that Christ, too, suffered temptations but never sinned. So be sober, be vigilant. We find that in 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. And that means keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. A little example that you might say, the burglar was spotted by vigilant neighbors. See, the neighbors were keeping careful watch on things and spotted what was going on. And that's how we have to be. We have to be sober-minded, be vigilant. Be always on the alert for any possible temptation and danger that might come our way, any sin that might confront us. When them temptations come our way, we got to be ready for them, folks. pretty hard to fight a temptation in the middle of it or after it's over. You got to be ready. 1 Peter 5:8 tells you, be sober and be vigilant, keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties, temptations. That's so, so important to be ready. Galatians 5:16. He fills me with his spirit, the one who empowers me to turn away from sin and keep the commands of Jesus. Well, when you become a Christian, you get the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, Jesus' Spirit, God's Spirit lives in you. He's the one who empowers you to turn away from sin and keep the commands of your Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit, so many of us, so many of us, so many churches, they never talk about the Holy Spirit. A lot of them are afraid of the Holy Spirit. They say, well, you know, I don't understand the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. The triune Godhead, the three, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they are one. They are all one in three distinct persons. And the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:16 tells us, God fills me with his Spirit, the one who empowers me to turn away from sin and keep the commands of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So, goodness sakes. I mean, that's such a beautiful scripture to know that Jesus lives within us. The Holy Spirit lives within us. God gave us power, not power to go out and become the richest person on earth, or power to overthrow governments, or power to be a villain. And it's I don't know how else to say it. That's not who we are. As children of God, the Holy Spirit gives us power to do what the commands of Jesus taught us to do. That's what he's there for. He empowers me and you to turn away from sin and keep Jesus' commands. Amen. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:16. And he fills me with his Spirit. I'm not saying to anybody, Pentecostal or non-Pentecostal, I'm not saying he fills us with his Spirit so we can do certain things like talking in tongues and all those other things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about he fills us with his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, our helper. He said, I'll send you a helper. He helps us every day in our lives for the good things of God, the good things of Jesus. The last scripture I'm going to share with you today is Hebrews 2:18. Ask God for help with temptation. How simple, how easy, how to the point, how point blank can it get? You got a temptation in your life, you ask God for help, period. Don't call your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle. Don't even call the preacher first. You ask God for help with that temptation. And then if you feel like you need more help, then you call whoever it is you need to call, whether it be your pastor, a friend, a relative, whoever it might be. But first, talk to God. You don't have to learn how to pray. We'll talk about that one of these days in another program. But just remember, when you pray to God, you're just talking to God. Don't try to have it in any particular format with any particular style and words and all that. Just have a simple, beautiful conversation with Jesus. That's how you talk to Jesus. Jesus, God, I need help, Father. Father God, in Jesus' name, I come to you today and I need help. I'm asking for your help. God, I'm not well spoken. I don't know all the big words, maybe, but I do know this. With what words I do know, I can call you, call on you, and I can rely on you to help me when I need help, not just with temptations, but with everything in life. But today we're talking about temptations and how to overcome them. And we overcome them with you. That's how we do it. We put on the full armor of God and overcome those temptations. So hopefully you've learned today a few things about how we're all tempted, but we all can overcome temptation. If we trust and rely on God our Father to help us fight against and conquer those temptations, that's all we need to do. Count on God. Rely on God. If you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know the Holy Spirit, there's no better time than right now to learn who He is. Contact 98.5 Q98.5 in Augusta, Illinois, and ask them how to get hold of Pastor Bob Wise. We want to help you. I'll give you my email. It's pastorwise@adams.net, ADAMS.net, pastorwise@adams.net. You let me know if you don't know the Lord and if you need help confidentially. It'll all be confidential. And if you don't have a Bible, you email me at that address, pastorwise@adams.net, and I'll send you a Bible free of charge. No charge. No obligation. That's what we want to do for you. That's what we will do for you. We love you and give you all of our prayers that you would follow the Lord Jesus every step of the way in your life. God bless you all. Amen. Well, we're so glad you could join us today, and we pray that you'll come back every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Here on Q98.5 for more lessons from Scriptures with Pastor Bob Wise.